So good morning. Let's open our Bibles to, as Brian encouraged us, we're going to be looking at 1 John 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. And I'm going to be bouncing around in a few scriptures and encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along. It's good to look through the Word of God and get encouraged in how God speaks to us on a certain subject through all of His Word, the whole counsel of God's Word. But we're looking today, again, let me encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, just those three verses for a message I've entitled, Do Not Love the World. One of the major themes as John writes, especially in 1 John, one of the major themes of the Apostle John in this letter is love. It's 62 times this word is used in this letter. That's a lot in a little short letter. He's talking about love. And some of the major passages and truths presented in this letter are titled, listen to what they're titled, A New Way of Love, The Nature of Redeeming Love, God is Love, The Results of Love. It's a major theme here. But very interesting, in our text, there's a command, do not love. That's kind of a crux, isn't it? Kind of a something that would be strange. We are come to our faith in Christ. We come to a reconciled relationship with the Lord, and we're trying to learn to love God and love others as ourselves. That's what God has worked in our life. The love of God has changed our life, and then it comes out in our life. The love of God has been poured out within us. And it seems kind of strange that in all of that, our focus being, okay, we need to love, and then now John writes in here, hey, we're going to look at do not love. So there's something here that's in here, and we're gonna find out what it is. Now, before we jump into our text, let me encourage you and some of you younger people, some of the kids today, get a piece of paper, because this is good for you to follow along. This is good for all of us to follow along. Get your outline, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here, and I want you to write some things down. Okay, and this is good. We can all answer this, but, you know, kind of encourage the children to write some things down, because when you talk about this message when you're at home, or when you're driving back in the car and that kind of thing, this would be a good place to start. What'd you write down there? So let me encourage you, each one of us, to write something down as we begin here to set our hearts on some things. What I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want you to think with me, interact with the message today, interact with God's Word and what God has to say. Here's the question. What do you love? Write some things down. What do you love? And you got some things going there. It's good to write some things down that you do love. Okay, now here's another one. What can you love? What do you love? What can you love? I'll give you a tough one. Can we love ice cream? I love ice cream. I don't get to eat ice cream very much anymore. It doesn't make me feel good anymore. Big ham sandwich. As Tony shared on self-confrontation, he loves this wonderful sandwich, and but to love it rightly, he can only have half. So I guess there's a lesson in that, but that would be good. We can love that. Now, let me ask you another question. Write some things down. What do you know about what God calls you to love? What do you know about what God calls you to love? So we got some things down here. Love my spouse, love my kids, love my grandchild, I love my church family, I love each other, I'm to love one another, I'm to love my enemies, I love the lost. I love God, love His Word, I love a good sandwich. I wrote that in there. You guys are going to just think I'm obsessed with the sandwich, but I kind of am. So you got some things down, right? You got some things you wrote down, that kind of thing. Now, so you look at the passage with me, and let's see what God here, what God's Word here says what not to love, okay? That's what we want to grasp, and whatever it is meant, whatever it is that He's talking about, we must struggle with it. For God to put a command in the Bible to call forth out of our life, to God write an imperative, hey, do not love that, that means there's probably an issue with us loving it. Would you say that's probably correct, right? That's what God would say, do not do this, that means there's an issue with us doing that. So whatever He's talking about, He would not have commanded us not to love it if it wasn't an issue that we love, or that we're going to struggle with it, or a battle. There's three, in these three verses, in your outline there, we have a command, a contrast, a challenge, and a crux, the bottom line. I kind of made the words the same, but that's what we're going to look at. Look, read the passage with me, look at it with me. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Here, John writes, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Very simple passage, very, very neatly put together. For first of all, we have the command. Here's what God's Word says. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. It's a command of God, an imperative. An imperative is where God calls forth out of his people. He calls forth out of the believers in Christ here not to love. He summons it out of your life, and it means anything that God commands you can do, he's equipped you to do. He wants you to follow him to do, so he's commanding us to follow him, and that we're not to love. That's what he's saying. Do not love the things of the world, nor the world. Love here means in reference, this is important to the world and the things. In reference here, it means to delight in, to esteem. Do not allow the things of the world and the world to be on your heart so they direct your will. Do not love them. That's what he's talking about here. Because when you love the things of the world, when you love the world, when you love these kind of things, when you love something, it directs your will, it directs your thoughts, it directs your hearts. So do not love these. Do not delight in them. It's like Luke 11:43. It says this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues, and you love the respect, the respectful greetings in the marketplace." Now, what he's talking about here, you see this love for this delight in the chief place or the respect in the marketplace. You love to sit in the great place. You love to go in the marketplace and everybody recognize you was dictating their lives, their choices. They were looking for the recognition of being a Pharisee. So they loved the recognition. They loved the seat. They loved the marketplace. It directed their will, so to speak. Or like Jesus said in John 3:19. Men love the darkness rather than the light. They delighted in the darkness. They esteemed in the darkness. They loved the darkness. They let the darkness, their desire, their delight in it, determine their life rather than the light. So they rejected Christ because they delighted in the darkness. I want you to capture what he's saying here when he says, do not love the things of the world or the world. Do not make them the delight. Do not esteem them. Don't let them direct your thoughts, your will, your life, and the direction you're going. That's what he's talking about here. It's in your heart giving themselves over to them. So what John is saying, do not delight in, esteem the world, nor the things of the world. Don't love the things of the world. Now, what are the things of the world? What's the world? What's he talking about? You know, is it the world or is it the world? What is he talking about? First of all, you know he's not talking about God's creation. Genesis 1:31, God says that all that he had created was called good. Hey, let me help you. You can delight in, you can esteem, you can love the mountains, the river, the sunrise, the ocean, the rain, the trees, the animals, the dogs, even food. Give me an amen back there, brother. You can delight in them, but you're not over God. Not over your relationship with God. Not in your honor of God. You can delight in the sunrise. Nothing wrong with that. He's not saying, hey, the things like, hey, don't delight in the sun came up this morning and wait. He's not talking about that. Second, we know he's not talking about people. Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone to accept to love one another. And verse 10 says, love does no wrong to his neighbor. We're commanded to love others, to love the lost, love his enemy. So what is he talking about here? That we are commanded not to love, what he's commanded not to esteem, to delight in, not to allow to direct your will, to guide your direction. What is he talking about here? To the Christian, to the believer, what is the world and the things in the world? Well, let's look at Scripture and let it tell us what it is. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verse 2. Let's look at the Word of God to tell us what the world, what we're not to love, what we're not to esteem, not to get our direction or will from. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Look at it in here. Starting in verse 1, here's what Paul writes. He says this. This is who we were before salvation. He says this. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. That's what he's talking about, the course of this world, the way you walked before you were saved, the way the world walks, the way the world lives, what the world lives for, what it is, an unsaved person that doesn't know God, that has no relationship with God, that isn't saved, that's just sinful flesh, that's just following itself, that's just going after what it wants to. It's the course of the world. And did you hear what he said? The director of the course of the world, the one that's over the power of it, is the prince of the power of the air. You hear what he's talking about? We don't want to love the course of the world. God's enemy's way is what he's talking about, Satan's way. 1 John 5:19 says this, the whole world's way lives in the power of the evil one. Now get that, the whole world's way lives in the power of the evil one, the way the evil one is going with the way of the world. We don't love that way. Don't delight in that way. Well, you might be saying in your heart right now, hey, I don't love that way. I don't love the way of the world. Well, you need to remember it was your only way before you knew Christ. It was the way of your flesh. It was the way of what was going on in you, and now we're trying to get away from that. So a good place to capture this in our heart and mind is look at Mark 8 with me. Look at Mark 8, verse 34 through 38. So we can see what God is talking to us about to not love, to be esteemed, delight in. Mark 8, Jesus' words in Mark 8, verse 34 through 38. And we're gonna look at this and hear Christ and what he's talking about. And we're going to identify the way of the world. And it's simple. It's not complicated, what we're not to love. Here Jesus is speaking to us. Look at verse 34, and he says this, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, so you got the crowd, you got everybody here, you got disciples, and he says, hey, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Forever who wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words is in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory of his Father with his holy angels. Now you see it in there. Right there we see the way of the world, the course of the world. Those that don't deny their self and that they seek to gain or attain all that the world can give them. It's right there, isn't it? Because what did Jesus say if you're going to follow him? You got to deny yourself and you got to not go after the things of the world. You got to lose your life to gain my life. He said it right in there. So the way of the world was you don't deny yourself and you're seeking to gain the whole world. It's pretty simple. You can write these two things. This is what the whole world is about. Every ideology, every theology apart from God, every way anybody thinks, every way the world goes, everything that is going on in their heart, mind, every way of the world, the course of the enemy is. These are the two things that identify their way. Self-gratification, materialism. Every decision made is about self-gratification or materialism. Everything that's decided, everything that's going to move forward, everything apart from Christ, apart from God, apart from honoring him, that's the way of the world. That's the course of the world. It's right there in the text. Christ's way, deny self, go after the Lord, pursue him. World's way, gratify self, go after stuff. It's that simple. Everything in the course of the world generates around that. Now, don't fall off the cliff here, okay? Fall off the cliff. Doesn't mean you can't have things or be gratified. I can have a good ham sandwich. I was gratified last night. I got some great sleep. And I slept like a rock. You know how when you sleep like a rock, you just wake up like, whoa, that was great sleep, right? I was gratified. But I'm not seeking after being gratified. I'm not living to be gratified, and I'm not living to gain more stuff so I can be more gratified. You see the difference? You see what he's talking about? Christians don't live for that. They don't live for that. The world lives for that. They're just seeking to be self-gratified. That's who I was before Christ. It was all about self-gratification. I remember playing sports before I came to the Lord, and it was all about me being gratified, me getting accolades, me. It's about me. Now I can play sports and participate in some activities like that. And man, my heart wants to be for them. I don't even get upset when Pastor Tom beats me. He can attest to that too. It's that kind of thing. It's your life changes, and that's what he's talking about. And he's talking to Christians and say, hey, don't love the world. Don't delight in that things. Don't let them direct your heart and mind and your will. The world's way, self-gratification, materialism, is not to direct our way. It's not to lead our way. We lost that to gain Christ's life. That's what he's talking about. These two things master the thoughts of the world. Listen, we don't live in a good world with bad people. We live in a corrupt world with lost people, and Christ is the only way out. The only way. Because it's corrupt. It's just about self-gratification and the god of materialism. That's what the world is. The only way we overcome the world, 1 John 5, the only way we overcome self-gratification, materialism, is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way. And we don't love the things of the world. Colossians 1:13. What was shared with us today says this: we have been saved, rescued, delivered. That's the same word believers in Christ have. From the domain, that word is domain, jurisdiction, authority of darkness. That's the world way. God, in his salvation, he rescued us, delivered us from the domain, jurisdiction, authority of darkness, the world's way, and he transferred us to the domain, the jurisdiction, the authority of Christ's kingdom. We don't belong to the world's way anymore. We don't belong to the jurisdiction of it. We don't belong to the authority of it. It has no authority, no jurisdiction, no dominion over us. We've been saved, rescued, delivered from it. That's what God did in your salvation. Now we're trying to learn to live for it. So we're not to live the world's way. Now here's the contrast. Look at the text with me. Back to 1 John. Look at it with me. Here's what John is saying. That's the command. That's where we're to. So we're not to love the world's way. Here's the contrast. Verse 15, second part of it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let me explain that to you. He doesn't mean if you've ever found delight in the or loved the world system of self-gratification or materialism, the Father's love's not in you. He doesn't mean, oh, you know, if you've ever found delight in that, God's love isn't in you. And he doesn't mean if you've ever stumbled with loving the world system of gratification or materialism, the Father's love in you. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying so if you've ever did it, you know, that's not what he's saying. And if you've ever stumbled, it's not what he's saying. If you ever struggled with delighting in the world's way, the Father's love. He's not saying that. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. If you love the way of self-gratification or gaining all that you can get, if that's your way, the love of the Father's not in you. That's what he's saying. If that's the way of your life, if that's how you're living, it's about me and me being exalted, me getting what I want, me having what I need, me getting the things I want to have. If it's about self-gratification, this life, and you about being gratified, and you about attaining material things, if that's the way of you, the way of God is not in you. Well, that makes sense now, doesn't it? That makes absolute sense. Because why? Because the love of God being in your life, God's love in your life, being in you, being born again, being saved, his love indwells you, and his love is not driven by self-gratification, materialism. His love directs you into his way. Luke 16:13, it's 33 in your outline, I wrote it wrong. 16:13 says this, which was read today, you cannot serve two masters, you'll love one, hate the other. That's a principle that he's talking about here, a contrast. You know, we fall into that we can kind of be an affectionate delight in some things, but it says you cannot serve two masters. Because if you're serving the world's way, you will not love God's way, you'll hate God's way. Don't let yourself be deceived or thinking, oh, okay, you know, I can kind of balance this. No, you can't. This is in your heart and mind. God loves righteousness, God loves God's way, and he hates the world's way. It's a battle, and it's always going to be a battle, but it's there. If you're his, it's the battle. James 4:4, listen to this incredible passage. This is really strong. You adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world's way, self-gratification, materialism, is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What a contrast, huh? This is God's word speaking to our lives. We don't get to balance in these things. God is working in our life for us to see the truth and for us to recognize, I'm going the Lord's way, I'm going Christ's way, I'm going God's way. That is not the way of the world. And I have to battle that. It's a challenge. And that brings us to the next word. Verse 16, look what it says, 1 John 2, that's the challenge. Look what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Did you get that? All apart from Christianity, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, boastful pride of life, all overwhelms the world. All directs every way of the unsaved and their people. What they love, delight in, pursue, it all overwhelms them, and it's not from the Father. But listen to this. It all tempts the believer. It all tempts the believer. That's the challenge. The way of the world, it attempts the believer. That's the challenge. So we got to recognize that. We got to see that. A good place to look at that is James. Turn to James. A few pages to the left in your Bible from 1 John. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. Let's look at this. Good place to see this. We're looking at God's word. Recognizing God has commanded us not to love the world. We see that. We want that. The love of the Father is in us. And so this is a battle in our life and a challenge, and we're going to be challenged with these temptations of life, with the temptations of the world. So let's look at James 1:12 through 18 and see this challenge and see for us in our mind to have the true understanding of what we're talking about here, about this battle and about the challenge that we face. Look what it says here, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's a great passage, a great verse, what he says there. But blessed are we that if we persevere through the trials of life. Let me tell you, let me ask you, you guys help me. Is denying self-gratification a trial in your life every week? Yeah. Oh, that's not strong enough, is it? Yeah. Absolutely. So blessed is a man who perseveres under the trial of battling our own flesh and not being gratified in this world and living for the Lord. Because when you follow that, you persevere in that, you get the crown of life from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that's saying. That's what he's talking about. The battle's worth it. The battle's real. The battle's happening. And listen. Verse 13, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Don't ever think that God's tempting you in this battle. Don't ever think that these things are from God and tempting you by the things of the world for you to not honor God. Don't ever think that. Don't ever let that come to your mind. Don't ever believe that in your heart. None of that is from God. It's not from the Father. It's from Satan. He's trying to tempt you to think that, oh, it's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to go this way. You know what? God wants you happy. Whatever the lie is, God would never tempt you with the world's way. Listen to what it says. For God cannot tempt by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own you. That's you, your own lust. Then when the lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Did you hear what he said? The whole world's way is self-gratification. Materialism is a temptation. If you give in, it brings forth death. That means no life whatsoever. It's not bringing any life to give into the world's way. Not zero. Boy, isn't that hard to believe? Isn't that hard to believe? It says it right here. You give into it, it brings forth death. That word death means no life, absolutely no life at all. But my flesh is gratified. God says that's no life. You will see why in a moment. Verse 16 through 18, look what he says. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Why would you think that there's good gifts from the evil one in this world, in the world's way? That's what that's talking about in our life. Why would you ever get that in your heart and mind? Well, it's there, but this is helping us see it. Every perfect gift is from the Father. There is no good gift from the world's way. There is no good gift from self-gratification or materialism. There is no good gift. But my flesh is gratified. Well, that's worthless. We'll get to it. Verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures. The first fruits don't live for the world. We're first fruits. We're a better fruit, or whatever. We're fruity. You want to go with that one, whatever. The challenge is, all of the world's way tempts us, all of God's first fruits, me and you, to not go God's way. Well, he calls them lust of the flesh. What's that? What's lust of the flesh? Well, let's get a scriptural understanding of what lust of the flesh. Turn your Bibles a few pages to the right. It's two in mine, to 1 Peter 1:14, and we'll kind of walk through something here. So we see, what is the lust of the flesh? Guess what? Every one of you have to battle the lust of the flesh. Every one of us have to. It's not going to go away until the Christ returns, because we're incarcerated in this dead thing called the flesh. You know, and we're trying to not gratify our flesh, but we've been saved, reconciled. But listen, what is the lust of the flesh? What is it? Let's just identify it. 1 Peter 1:14, look what it says. As obedient children, or children of obedience, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in ignorance. The former lust. The lust of the flesh, that's before you were saved. The way you live, the course of the world, the way it is. The former lust. Lust of the flesh, self-gratification, materialism. Ungodly desires of self-gratification of all kinds. That's what it is. Look at 2:11 in 1 Peter. Look at 2:11. Turn your Bible over one page, 2:11. And he says, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, because you're not part of the world. You're alien and strangers here. Because God saved you, and this is not your home. Your home is with him, right? To abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against your soul. Your soul is saved. Your soul is who you are. Your spirit, soul, that's who you are in Christ. They wage war against you, who you actually are. Fleshly lusts do. That's what they are, lusts of the flesh. Whether they're sexual, whatever gratifies the flesh. Now look at verse chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Peter says this a lot. Look what he says here. This is an important aspect as we would understand Christ. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, okay, how did he suffer in the flesh? Just like me and you, he denied himself. Now, he went to the cross and he went to all the thing, but he denied himself. He denied what his earthly humanity person wanted to do. Remember when he cried out to the Lord? Came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if any other way we could do this, but not what I want, let's go with what you want. Remember? Because his humanity was saying, I don't want this. What did he do? He denied himself. He suffered in the flesh. Incredible ways, all these kind of ways, but the suffering is denying self-gratification. It's right there in the text. Therefore, since Christ has suffered denying self-gratification in his flesh, arm yourself with the same purpose, because he who has denied himself in the flesh has ceased from sinning so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Now you see what it is. It's incredible what he's talking about. This is what the battle is, what we're doing, the challenge. The lust of the flesh is self-gratification. Ephesians 2:3 says the same thing. Matthew 5:28, I wrote 8 in your outline, it's 5:28, says you have lust in your heart when you look at a woman and you have and lust comes up in your heart. You don't even have to go after it. It's still lust of the flesh. And let me just read you the list of deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5:18. You let me know if any of these sound good to you. Here's the list of the deeds of the flesh that are going after the lust of the flesh. Here's the deeds: immorality, impurity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dissensions, factions, envy. None of those sound pretty profitable to me. That's God's word telling you. So your lust of the flesh, when it comes into your life and you self-gratification and you go after it, here's the deeds that come out of your life: immorality, impurity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dissensions, factions, envy. Wow, when I read that and I was putting that down, and so I just recognized, wow, so when I got dissension in my own heart, Lord, it's I'm serving lust of the flesh. I'm serving self-gratification. When I got factions going on, when I have envy in my heart, when, you know, I'm like, anger's coming out, when jealousy's there, when I got strife, when impurity's coming to my heart and mind, when immorality is happening in my life, it's all I'm serving, though I'm desiring in the way of the world. That's just true. You see why now the command, don't love the way of the world. And we all stumble and struggle, and this is all happening in our life, and we're all going through these things. So here's a good thing in here, a good lesson. When you see jealousy or strife, or you got dissension or factions happening, you got to come and kneel before the Lord and say, you know, help me with the way of the world, Lord, because I'm embracing it where you don't want me to be. And I'm seeing it because you're showing me it, because, man, I got envy right here. And it must be I'm loving something I'm not supposed to love. Help me out. Get me out of there. We are not to love the world's way. It brings destruction. What's lust of the eyes? Basically, vanity, jealousy, envy. Genesis 3:6, you guys know the story, Adam and Eve. The prince of the power of the air, the evil one, the serpent, which was speaking to Eve, the one that which the world lies in power of, said to Eve, hey, look at that apple, man. Look at that tree. It's good for you. It will give you more than God says he wants you to have. It will not kill you. It will satisfy you. That's exactly what he said to her. When Eve saw that the tree, lust of the eyes, was good for food and that it was delightful to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, self-gratification, materialism, she ate and Adam ate, and I don't see anything good that came from that. How about you? The whole story's the same. All that is in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. What's boastful pride of life? That's not hard, right? Self-exaltation, fame, I'm better than you, I'm better than somebody, I made it all happen to me, King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Right? Hey, look at my kingdom, look at all that I built. Oh, all of a sudden I'm over there, I'm eating grass, I'm a donkey. God wanted to show him, hey, man, hey, this isn't about you and what you build. This isn't about what you conquer, this isn't about what you have, this isn't about, God's telling us a boastful pride of life. What you have is the grace of God. What you obtain is the grace of God. What you can do is the grace of God. All the ability you have, yes, you apply yourself. Praise God that we apply ourselves. Praise God that we use our minds toward the goodness of God. Praise God that we put in effort, the willingness, because 1 Corinthians 3 in that passage says, God will reward you according to the effort, not the outcome. So praise God in our effort. We come before the Lord. We give off our best. We want to do everything in excellency, and we want to all do this, but it's all a grace. It's all a mercy. Because you used to live the way of the world, and if he didn't save you and rescue you, that's all you would live. The world's way, do not love it. Don't let it direct your life. A lot of verses in your outline to help you there. Listen to Galatians 1, 3, and 4. As Paul writes to Christians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who gave himself, Jesus Christ, for our sins, so he might rescue, deliver, save us from this present evil age, that word can be translated world, according to the will of our God and Father. That's an incredible passage. An incredible thing to just grab hold onto. What God has done, Christ has come to rescue us from the present evil world's way of self-gratification, materialism, according to the will of God our Father. That's what's from the Father. Nothing of the world is delivered, rescued from the world's way, and it's a challenge because the world's way is temptation to us. Now the crux. Look at your text, verse 17. The crux, the bottom line. I used to see, make it work together. The command, the contrast, the challenge, the crux, the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. I like this passage. It just kind of flows right into 1 John 2, verse 17. Here's the bottom line. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's the bottom line, isn't it? The world is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7:31 says the form of this world is passing away. Its ways one day will be no more. It's all temporal. There has no lasting life. Let me just kind of explain that to you. It's worthless reality. It's no lasting value. That's what he's talking about. All of this self-gratification, all of this exaltation, all of this being higher than somebody else, recognized, the world saying, wow, what a wonderful person. What all of that, whatever all that is, the world's way of being gratified, of gaining everything, of gaining the whole world, of whatever you attain, whatever you get, it's all going to pass away. 1 John 2:8 says, it's darkness and it's passing away. That's the reality. In God's word, in what he's talking to us about. It's all passing away. The world and the things of the world, prestige, fame, stuff, recognition, its value system is salt, and one day water will dissolve it all and won't have any value. I put it this way, love it, and it's a waste of my breath that God gave me to breathe because it has no value in the eternal things of God. Its only value is to my flesh. And I don't want to love the things of the world. I want to love God. But the one who does the will of God, listen to what he says, lives forever. That word lives is abide, remains forever. What is the will of God? John 6:40. To behold the Son and believe in him. To love the Lord your God. To love others, simply the one who loves what God loves. That's the will of God, for us to come to him, be saved by him, and to embrace what he loves. 1 John 4 says, the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And you remain forever. It's life forever. Psalm 125, 1 and 2, I like the way this says this. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever, those that do the will of God. That's what we want to love. So as we conclude here today, let's help ourselves here. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10. Because we all have conviction on the things in our life that are going on.
We're all sinners saved by grace. We all are got sin in our life. There's nobody in the room that is totally righteous, living, not loving some of the things of the world. God is working on that in our life. It's a journey. 1 Corinthians 10, here, let's help us through the challenge, through the temptation to not delight in the world's way. We'll use God's word and what he has to say here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and 14. This is kind of the application of it. So where do we go? What do we talk about, Lord? Help me to understand this. I see these things in my life. I see that I want to be gratified all the time, and that's a battle. And I see that I'm trying to, what's that saying? Whoever has the most toys wins, that kind of thing. And I know that's not all in our heart and all in that kind of stuff. And let me tell you again, God's not opposed to you having a nice home, a nice car. That's not what he's talking about. It's that your life is in pursuit of all those things. That's loving the things of the world. It's that my life goal, my life accomplishment is for me to get gratified and for me to have all these things that I want. That's what I'm living for every day. And that happens to us in our life, and we see that and recognize that. So what do we do? What do we do when those things are real, when those things God shows us in that? Here's just a great passage for you to see and understand, and so God can walk you out of something. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10. Now, these things happened as examples for us. Now, the things that happened to Israel. This chapter would be entitled, Avoid Israel's Mistakes. They made some mistakes. They're just like us. They were in the presence of God. They ate the same spiritual food, same spiritual drink, all of that. And it says this, now the things happened as examples for us. Look what it says, verse 6, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. We don't want to crave evil things. We don't want to crave the way of the world. We got to battle that in our heart. You don't battle that, you'll crave it, okay? You don't fight the things for the Lord, that's what will happen. He says, so this happened as examples. Look at verse 7. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. Idolatry, to value something in your life more than God himself. That when you walk up every day and said, you know what, if I have the choice to say yes to God and yes to something else, it's idolatry when you say yes to something else because you said no to God. That's idolatry. That's what it's called. And so that's what he's talking about. That's what they were doing. We're not saying yes to God. We're saying yes to this, that idolatry. That's what that is. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, nor let us act immorality. We know what that is. We don't want immoral things in our way. That's the way of the world, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. God killed 23,000 in a day. Let none of them try the Lord. Don't test the Lord. Don't say, the Lord isn't going to be bothered with me. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't really worry about me. I'm just going to go live my own life over here in the corner, and, I'll praise him on Sunday, but my life, I'll just live the way I am. Don't try the Lord like that. Don't do that. Live for the Lord. Work in your heart. He knows how good or bad or whatever you want to say indifferent the journey is with you, but God is wanting to walk with you, and he knows it all. And so he's wanting to encourage you, let's just keep going this way. He knows how hard that can be for each one of us. And that's what he means by don't try the Lord. Verse 10 again, nor grumble, as some of them did. You're grumbling, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, verse 11, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. There you go, there could be world. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Don't have pride and arrogance there, boastful pride of life. Hey, I'm standing because I'm good, and I'm standing on your own. Verse 13, look at it with me. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Whatever temptation that you have in your life to love the world's things, whatever you got going on, God says it's just common to humanity. You're not special. Don't you love that verse? You don't have a special sin. You don't have a special circumstance. You don't have it. No, this is just the natural thing of us. We're battling this, and no temptation has overtaken you. That's not common to humanity. Middle of the verse, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. So we're going to close with that. Isn't that incredible? That your God loves you so much, God is so much for you and so much with you, that he knows temptation is there. He knows that this way of the world's there. He knows what you're going through. He knows what the challenges are, and he's guiding and leading you, saying, don't love these things. These things there's no life in. The world will say all the life's in them. All the time. But there's no life in them. Life's in God, life's in Christ, and following Him. And when you're tempted, even if you're overtaken by God, will provide a way out if you'll look for God, if you'll look to see Him. But if you look for self-gratification or gaining something, you'll never find His way out, because His way out never is that. His way out is never to give you more and to give you self-gratification. That's God's never His way out. That's good counsel for people. I've counseled a lot of people that said, well, this is God's way out for me. He wants me happy. He wants me gratified. And I said, how can that be God's way out? That's the world's way. God's way is this way. So wherever we're at in our life today, and we're going to close here. This is a good verse, good passage to look at. Wherever we're in our walk with the Lord, God's okay in the sense of not wanting to condemn us or harm us. He wants to give us what's from the Father. That's what He wants to do for us today. I pray in my heart that that's what you seek, what the Father has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning and Your word here, and for just amazing truth that is here, and who we really are and who You really are. And I just thank you for saving us, for transforming us, to transferring us to not even live. We live in the world, not of the world. Different things that are said in that way. Our kingdom is Christ. It isn't this world. And help us to have balance and understand all that we talked about today. Like I said, Lord, you know, I don't want somebody to fall off a cliff and say, oh, I can't have a rocking chair in my home. Lord, help us with all of that. Really reveal to us what has us. Help us to, none of these world's things have us, that You have us. And then we have a few things that You've provided for us for our good and for the work of the Lord and for all, and just to enjoy. So we come before You, thanking You for Your word, and with willing hearts, asking You to guide and lead, for us to be a testimony of Christ for what He does in our life, to stand out in the world really as lights, beacons, for Your glory. Thank You for this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.